It is my pleasure to introduce our featured reader for tonight. Born in England, Catherine Bitney grew up in Saskatchewan and has spent most of her life on the a founding member of the Manitoba Writers Guild and Prairie Fire magazine. Catherine is the author of 4 books of poetry, including Firewalk with Turnstone in 2012, and of a collection of essays, The Boreal Dragon, Encounters with a Northern Land, with Woolsack and Wynne in 2013. She has collaborated as a librettist on a choral piece, Cantus Borealis, with composer Sid Rabinovich, premiered by the Manitoba Chamber Orchestra in April 2011. She has worked as editor, mentor, creative writing instructor, and arts juror for over 35 years in Manitoba and holds an MA in religion from the University of Manitoba. Catherine Bitney lives, gardens, and writes in Winnipeg. A 5th collection of poetry is under construction. Please join me in welcoming Catherine Bitney.
Hi. And I will be reading, actually, from that 5th collection. The poems that I'm going to read this evening are actually from an experiment, you might say. I'm very interested in the Norse mythology, and in this mythology, or in their religious history, there was a character or a person who a priestess in a form, I think you would have to say a shamanic form of the religion called Sage, and she practiced, among other things, a thing called sitting out, or utseta. And I thought it would be interesting for me to take her part and sit out and listen as she did for the spirits and what was going on around her, and see what kind of connections she might make in a 21st century city. So I will begin with a poem called I Thought I Might Ride Out. Thought I might ride out, perhaps on a reindeer, moss, old lichen hanging from the antler tines, bone from my body when I am dear. Dear body hiding in my own. I thought I might ride out like that, decked in blue, the sky, and the fur of white foxes, birch in the winter. I thought I might ride out on a reindeer, necklace of ice and stars around my throat. Reindeer pulling a river of planets, a cataract of light, the Milky Way behind us, ribbon of stars. You can pluck them for your adornment, clutch them to the lobes of your ears, press them to your forehead, a third eye of space fire blazing. Thought maybe I might ride the sky like that, rise up into the empty blue, haul the river behind us, me and the white reindeer I'm riding. What good does this do? Moving stars around like that, whole galaxies slipped into new moorings. She kind of went to the stars, so I think I'll continue with the stars. And what she may have heard from the stars, or certainly I did anyway. The stars will not lie to you. They've seen it all. They will not tell your fortune. They will not shape your life for you. Will not determine your character. They will not be your lucky star. They do not hear when you wish on them. They are not the horrors of your zodiac, nor belts or swords or nails in a god's body. They are the children of dust and fire, and the galaxies sing when they are born, each one. Crush them in great nebulae, star nurseries, until they spin out, make orbit, live as light until their nuclear hearts burn up. Their life strings far too long for our minds to recognize as time. They've seen it all and know their love is not for you. Their love is for the fire that they are and for the deep joy of burning. So that's what they told me. Enough of this romanticizing, they said. And I'm going to move from the stars to water, because water is seems to be a pretty important factor in many many countries right now. There's either too much of it or not enough. And so I think I will read a little bit about water and rivers. I live actually very close to the Red River, and it's a suffering river. You are floating alone. This is you, your back on water, face up against sky, against what it will send down to you, hard sun, rain, shadows of shoreline trees. You know there are fish under you. You know there are weeds, snails, algae, sand and stones, mud and cold eddies. What are you doing here? What business have you almost sleeping in this messy soup? And this is only a nameless lake going about its business, breeding life, cleaning the land's blood. You could be anywhere, on an ocean or an inland sea, the slow oxbow of an old river, a pond in the middle of nowhere. The same quick sway of fish bodies, same dive and scoop of shorebirds, gulls still quarreling along the beach. You, floating here, are a nothing, really. You and your spirit dreams. As I said, I live very close to the Red River, and I often go, one of my sitting outs, I should say I spent a year sitting out, literally, mostly in my ports in the winter anyway, for at least a few minutes every day or every evening. Just to listen, and I had very red hands by the end of that. But one of the places I would go and sit out was by the Red and listen to it. What a river will tell you. What it carries in its moving body, its molecules, what it hauls on its way, sewage, silt, poison, bodies of humans, other animals, the skeletons of fish, shells, what it is asked to move, carry away from one crime scene to another, effluent of industries, chemicals that malform the young of generations coming, how it is compromised, pressed into the service of the universe, the greedy, the negligent, the callers of apocalypse, the careless, the desperate, despondent, the hiders of crime. In its pockets, a river carries stories, hurries them one place to another. It sinks them into its deposits, leaves them on a shore, evaporates them into the next rain, next snowfall, hides them in clouds, sends them where the wind takes hold and shatters them into strands of text, rearranges them, drops them from one time to another. So ask a river this, that it may call up a tale for our times. Revolt, anger, drums and smoke, old leaves acidizing, pine cones, barking of dogs, singing in the night of anxious wolves. Raise up, ask it, raise up the stories for our times. Rain them down, mutter them as you pass by, river, us standing on the banks listening, waiting for this to fall into our mouths for singing. I actually read that by the Red River once. I don't know how it felt about it, but anyway. Of course, being a poet and a writer, I talk a lot. And I talk a lot when I'm listening, or I'm supposed to be listening. And when you're training to be a shaman, or when you are a shaman, I'm gathering that one of the things you're supposed to do is listen. So here's what I got from that. Shut up. You are meant to be listening, not nattering on and on about the rain. There goes Raven bitching about the cold again. There goes a child squealing in her games. There goes a neighbor's door slamming, children running house to house, a dog barking. There goes the sun descending in the west, singing her way down in light. And there goes time tumbling through the sky again. You can hear the whir and the bump, bump, bump of it passing. You can hear its howl because you have crossed its path. You zipped right through its skin without so much as a may I. And there you go again, bending an ear. Voices whiz by like bullet trains on steroids, and you can't hear a thing because you're talking too much. This one is about grief, and it's a. I guess everybody grieves in their own way, but this is my take on it, if you like, and on how people tell you how you're supposed to grieve. And what you should grieve about. And I think this was an answer to that in some way. I am not grief. I am not suffering, not pain. I am not the shards of myself. I'm not the words I speak, nor the stories told of me. I am not the silences I keep. I am not the things I grieve. I am not the standing forth of sorrow. I am this, an old bird still dancing in the dark like everyone does, still hunting the house of the mind for the right door, keys clanking at my side, and which door, which key? I am not the long threads I drag behind me, nor the faces you see and do not see, the gestures of my hands, not the dance of my hips and knees. I am impatience, pacing and tapping its feet, hands hunting for a cigarette to empty the long minutes. I am refusal and a powder blown off in a light breeze. I am here and not here. Nor am I chains, not the voices of strangers you hear speaking from my mouth, pulling the left arm of my larynx or the right. The left sings like a bird. The right shuts its teeth on my tongue, won't let a breath pass through the voice box. Do you want me to speak? Do you want me to let out the shout or the strangled cough caught somewhere in the bronchi? I am not the rage you want, not the horror. I am not the trapped, nor the one drowning. I am not loss, not terror, not the one wrapped in a spider's web, not the fire of rage, not the thunder strike of astonishment. I am not the body shaking on its own, not that body, but another. Dancing its long story, streamers dragging off the fingers. Now, of course, one of the things that a priestess or a witch or a shaman does is to cast spells. And this is a spell that it came as a spell, but it's about creation and one's own connection. One of the things you hear when you're listening to the world or the natural world is that you are part of it. So this is a kind of chanted spell. It's called Spell to Put Life in Motion. Because I am in motion, all things move. Because I breathe, all breath moves in and out of lungs, chests heave. Because I dance, there is movement. Because I move, all things are in motion, all things move. Because I sing, so sing the stars, so sings the earth, so rings her crystal heart. So sing the birds at daybreak, wolves at full moon chanting. So sing willows leaning over banks. So sing the shivering poplars in a breeze. So sing to the waters, waves breaking at the shores. So sing the rivers in their courses, oceans in their beds. So sings the rain, so sings the aquifer, so sing all rivers underground. So sings the thunder in a storm. So sing the whales, so bark the seals, so yips the fox, so screams the gull, so huffs the bear, so chirrups the frog, so sings and sighs the wind. Because I dance, so dances deer. So dance the grouse, So dances cranes, so dance the ravens, eagles tumbling in midair. So dance all trees in tempests pivoting, arms flailing. So dance and sway the herring in the seas. Because I run, so runs the wolverine. Because I am in motion, all things move. Because I'm a runner, all things run. So runs the antelope, the caribou, so runs the cougar. So runs the ferret in the leaves, so runs the hare, so runs the moon across the night. So run the rivers down the land, because I am a singer, all things sing. Because I am in motion, all things move, and all things sing because I sing. Because I run, all runners move like wind, like fire, like tumbling stones, like star wheels rolling down the night. Because I am on fire, all things burn. So burn the fireflies in the night. So burns the sun. So burn volcanoes, pillow rock upheaving in the sea. So burns the center of the earth. So burn the hearts of stones. So burn the ropes of time. Because I am on fire, so burn the stars. So burn the galaxies. So flame the tails of comets. So burn the hearts of lovers. So burn the eyes of lions in the night. It's kind of a hefty spell, actually. The spell should or is intended to make things something happen, as many of you might know. So that's its intent. I find myself very much connected to wind, the wind when it blows either strongly or softly. I find myself just wrapped in it. And so, and especially right now, I don't know if you noticed, but this sort of early autumn wind is just so, so dreamy and soothing. So this is called a blessing for the wind. Blessed be the day and its wind and the fierce terror it calls from your body. Blessed be the four corners of the mind, now windswept. Blessed be the horrors you imagine, tied in the wind's tail, cached in the mind's pockets, old coins, rumpled Kleenex. You will not cry for any of this. Dry as the wind, your eyes. This is memory moving through time. It calls up breezes in your mind. Spirit aloft, so to speak, far reaches. Your mind elongates toward the deep past, lives you have never lived, forgotten that you lived, good times, banners in the wind rippling outward from the bones of dead trees. Bird is a helicopter chopping up the wind. Bird is a dragon made of air. Its tail is all you see, flicking back and forth in the fierce wind. There is no room for air, only for the voice inside its folds. You want nothing more than to catch its tail and ride the ripples, snaking. How am I doing for time? Am I okay for time? Okay, good. So I did say, I told Angeline, I too have a crow poem. I happened to put it in there, and then I noticed that you always start with a crow poem. So I will read you a crow poem. And this is another shaman poem. Sometimes people get rather romantic ideas about themselves as being shamans, and so the crow has more or less this to say. So you listen to crow, poor fool. You, not the crow. He knows what he's doing, and you fancy yourself an artist, a listener to the land. Crow at least keeps his feet tight around the earth, his wings firm in the wind. What do you do? Flop here, flop there, plod along the sidewalks, up the road, you yourself a walker. But nohow do you walk with the ease of crow, his bounce. Here's the thing. You are human. He is crow, bird, walker in two worlds easy, maybe three. Wouldn't you love to do that? Wouldn't you just spread your body out, atoms thinning, moving further and further apart, until you are tall as the tree crow sits in watching you? Say you do this. Say you reach the top and look him in the eye. or push your legs down into the earth and tangle your feet with the tree's long roots. And Crow, in his high perch, laughing his shiny black head off. You're just another shaman to him, practicing the bigs and the littles, hoping for a pat on the head. From Crow, just a disdainful peck. And you wish you could see with his eyes, too, further than a human like you could hope to do. Just when you think you've got it, penetrated the veils, so to speak, there they all are laughing. That's your journey, and you'll take it. So, Crow always has the last laugh. Being a trickster, I think in many cultures, Crow is a trickster. And I think part of his job is to keep you from taking yourself too damn seriously. So, how are we doing? Am I close to the end here? Okay, good. Well, we are coming up to the autumnal equinox in a couple of weeks. And so I thought I would end I'll do one more after that. To the end with an incantation for the autumnal equinox, and an incantation here because it's a kind of prayer. Some people see these turns of the earth and the sun and so on to be very holy in and of themselves, because the movements of the planets are holy and the movements of the sun are holy in and of themselves. So, when day rises and light is matched by dark, when dark comes to conquer, when light seeds bowing, when light recesses willingly, head south. When light leaves capture sun, when full on, immobilize its photons in the season's dusk and send them into the soil for winter storage. When the rut begins, when forests fill with the clatter of antlers, the scent of bear musk, when stags fight and does demur, watching with their mother eyes. When the land is full of love, when the fist of frost is up and the windows down, when crows marshal, when plants want rest or death, when trees pull down their sap, when berries wither, when spiders feast then die, when stars shift their posts, when you sit out bundled in the night, when children are in school and crazies stay indoors, when the river sings to you as it slides by, when overhead the urgent geese are always on the wing, when north and south light balances with dark, when the balance falls and summer passes. There. And just one more. Do I have time for one more little poem? Okay. This is to remind us that when we are, in fact, like all other animals, we are inherently wild. And maybe it's time we began to remind ourselves of that and to rewild ourselves. So this is what was what came as a lesson, I think, to me. Then you look up suddenly and see you are wild as the moon tearing clouds, wild as that last goose circling, calling out, coming in home to the river for the night. You can hear the wind beat in its wings, wild as coyotes, wild as cougars sneaking through tall grass along the river banks, hunting rabbit, or wild as riverine grapes crawling the bushes, and the river just now open from winter, crashing with spring ice. You are wild indeed, you with your drum, your cold fingers tapping, wild as the clouds, wild as the pale moon singing. There we go. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah. Shall I unmute myself? Bye.